Will I return your mind's eye and attention to John chapter 5. I'm only going to read two verses because these are the two verses I want to focus your attention on for the next few moments. Powerful statements of our Lord. John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. As I begin the reading, I'm going to use the pronoun ye for the plural because it captures the meaning of what Jesus is saying in verse 39 about those he was speaking to. John 5, verses 39 and 40. Ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. May you know the blessing of a right use of the word of God this morning. You may be seated. If some useful, even beneficial, even absolutely necessary thing, excuse me, is not used properly, it can actually be very detrimental to the person misusing it, and very detrimental to others who are on the receiving end of what is being misused and not used for the good, even necessary purpose and blessing that it was given for. If I can give a very current example of what I mean, using this to introduce how the most important thing ever given to men by God was sadly being grievously misused in Jesus' day and is still being grievously misused today. Now, in using this example and illustration, I am well aware of how different are the views of this particular thing, not only in this country, but even in the world. But the same can be said of something far more important, of the thing that Jesus clearly reveals was being misused in his day, despite it being the great gift from God that it is. Because let us be honest, dear brethren, who has not heard or who does not have an opinion regarding what is called gun violence in this country? Let us be honest, it has captured the minds and the media and the discussions of many over the last number of months. But left to itself, a gun commits no violence. You've heard gun violence, but left to itself, a gun commits no violence. Neither does anything else that can be used in a violent and incorrect way. I am sure that all of you have knives in your drawer at home. A knife in a drawer commits no violence. Just as a gun in a gun safe or a drawer commits no violence. The violence is committed when a man decides to use that gun or that knife in a violent way. It is in the hands of sinful man that a gun or knife or anything else that can be used to harm others can be used by that sinful man to harm others, as we have seen many times, soberingly and sadly, in the world and in this country. The problem, dear brethren, is not with gun violence. The problem is the fact that violence reigns in the sinful heart of man. For one man can use a gun to provide for, even protect his family, where another man could use that same gun to injure or even kill that man's family due to the unrestrained violence in his heart. For it's out of the heart that proceed murders. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. A knife sitting on a table, a gun sitting on a table, is neither good nor bad, but it can be taken up by a man and used in either good or wrong ways. Fallen, sinful men have misused and continue to misuse beneficial and helpful things to their detriment and the detriment of others. And this sobering reality, but real reality, is seen with respect to one of the greatest gifts, if not the greatest gift, man will ever be able to have in his possession. For there is absolutely nothing wrong with this particular thing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this particular thing. In fact, if men use this particular thing properly, meaning the way it was intended to be used of God who gave it to man, rather than using it in accordance with their fallen, flawed, and sinful hearts and reasoning, men would know blessing because of it that would not only be blessing in this life, but forever. Yet sadly, as seen in the verses I'm about to focus your attention on, this most precious gift of God given to mankind by God has been misused and sadly continues to be misused by untold millions to the detriment of their souls and the souls of others who listen to them. But the problem, dear brethren, is not with this particular glorious good gift of God. The problem is with the fallen wills and minds of man, apart from the sovereign, regenerating grace and mercy of Almighty God. Because, as I said, there is absolutely nothing wrong with this particular thing. Use it correctly, it will bless your never-dying soul. But use it incorrectly, meaning not in the way God intended by God, or for the reason which God gave it, a person's incorrect use of it will actually result in the loss rather than the salvation of their soul. Dare I say that the misuse of this particular thing will result in the destruction and loss of the souls of men? Now, it would not surprise me if you know the gloriously good thing I am referring to, in light of the text I read in your hearing but a few moments ago. What am I referring to? What am I referring to, dear brethren? I am referring to the Bible. I am referring to the Holy Bible of God. I am referring to the written Word of God, the Holy Bible, a gloriously good gift of God to mankind. Rightly used, it will bless the soul of a man, but incorrectly used, as it sadly so often is, has been, and continues to be, it will result in the destruction of the souls of men. Not because there is a problem with the Scriptures, perish the thought, and I'll repeat that statement more than once in this message. The problem is not with the Bible. The problem is not with the Scriptures of God. The problem is with their misuse. But they're not being used for the purpose that the Lord so graciously and mercifully and wonderfully and lovingly and kindly gave it to sinful and fallen mankind. For it has not been the right use of the Bible that has resulted in all the problems that lost men wrongly associate with the Bible. It is men not using this good gift of God for the purpose that God gave it to mankind. A purpose that Jesus clearly declares in these verses, even as he also reveals the sobering misuse of them as well. For in these two verses, verses 39 and 40 of John chapter 5, see three things that I want to lay before you today. Three things. Three very simple things. But oh, if we realize the seriousness of these three things. First, what I call the priority of the Word. The priority of the Word, meaning the Word of God, the Holy Bible, the Scriptures. The priority of the Word is seen in the words of Jesus. Ye search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Second, the purpose of the Word, as seen in the words of Jesus. And they are they which testify of me. That's the purpose of the Bible. They testify to who the Lord Jesus Christ is, the Savior of the world. But then third, what I call the peril of the Word, and I'll explain that when I reach this third point. And third, the peril of the Word, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. So notice first with me this morning, the priority of the Word. As seen in the words of Jesus, ye search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Now, as will be seen, these men to whom Jesus said this were not using their searching of the Scriptures correctly. But what did they realize, dear brethren? What did they realize about the Bible, even though they were misusing it? What did they realize? That the Scriptures had something to say about eternal life. These men, even though they were not using the Scriptures properly, as Jesus will show, they at least understood that the Scriptures needed to be searched out and studied. They were men who were at least searching out the Scriptures. They were at least studying the Scriptures. Yes, as we'll see, they were not using them properly. But I ask you, dear brethren, what does that say about those who are not using the Scriptures at all? It's one thing to misuse the Scriptures, as these men sadly were doing. But what does it say about those who don't use the Scriptures at all? What does it say about those who do not want others to use them or even have them? What does it say to those who ridicule the Bible and ridicule those who are using it properly and for the purpose God gave them? These men were at least searching the Scriptures because in them they believed that they taught the way of eternal life, but refused to see what that way was as revealed in them in the person and finished work of the one who was speaking to them. Because as Paul writes in Romans 10, why is he so burdened for his unbelieving Jewish brethren? Why is he so burdened for them? Well, you see it in Romans chapter 10, the opening verses. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that it might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If they were using the Scriptures properly, they would see that works righteousness is not the way to be made right with God. It's through faith alone in Christ alone. Men who think that the Bible teaches that the way to eternal life is through keeping the works of the law show that they are not using the Scriptures correctly. But God may yet, in His mercy and grace, reach down and have mercy on them, even as He did Saul, the persecuting Pharisee. God may yet have mercy on the millions who are not reading the Scriptures correctly. And oh, we should be praying towards that. If a man is reading the Scriptures and he's thinking that by reading them he can save his soul, if he's reading them that he thinks that he can apply the Word of God without the empowering of the Holy Spirit, may God give him the eyes to see that he's a wretched sinner that only Christ can save. At least he's reading them.
But what a sobering condition to be in. If a person thinks that the Bible should not be read or should not be studied, and even do not want to see it read or studied, which has been, dear brethren, the position of this country, has it not? And at least the last 50 years, if not more, for I ask you, just try to get a regular course of Bible reading done in the public schools and see how far you get. Just say, well, we should have a course in Bible reading. We're just going to have the students sit for half an hour and read the scriptures by themselves. Just try and get that in the front door of any public school in the United States of America today. Well, what do you have? Oh, you've got mandates for diets. They've told you how big the sodas can or cannot be. You've thought they've got to get rid of this and they've got to bring in that because we've got to have these obese children exercising because they're overweight. What does it profit a man if he's got a perfect physical condition and loses his own soul? The first readers, dear brethren, the first readers in New Hampshire use scriptural verses to help children learn how to read. A, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Just try and get that simple truth into the public school today. These men were misusing the scriptures. They weren't using them properly, but at least they understood that this book has a message in it about eternal life. It's a sobering misuse of the scriptures not to see them pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only source of eternal life. But I ask you, what is going to happen to those who not only do not read the scriptures? How many people, they don't read the scriptures today? I've used the expression, it's the best unread bestseller. Everybody's got to have a Bible. We're not heathens. We've got a Bible. Where is it? Well, it's here somewhere. I say, oh, there it is. 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years of dust is blown off this book in that home. What is going to happen to those who not only do not read the scriptures, but labor to prevent and hinder others from doing so? Oh, if there is one thing, dear brother, make it a priority in your life to be reading the scriptures. To be studying the scriptures and asking God to open your eyes to see wonderful things out of His book, and the one who is wonderfully revealed in the scriptures, if you're reading them properly, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. If you are not reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, meditating on the scriptures on your own, you are doing a disservice to your own soul. You're listening to the devil, who labors to get men and women and young people to say, there's something more important in your life than the intake of the Word of God. On that great day, how many young people are going to be lost because they've spent hours on their Facebook page and they've never spent a minute in the Word of God? Oh, that's for you, preacher, because you've got to bring a message. No. If you think you're not going to die and meet the Maker, you need to ask yourself, am I ready to meet that Maker? And this book tells you the only way you can be ready to meet that Maker through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this world will not tell you that. Beyonce won't tell you that. As she struts around half naked in the Super Bowl ceremony, contributing to the lust of how many young men in this society? Oh, how she sang at the national, in the inauguration of the President of the United States. We've got to listen to her. We've got to watch her. What did Jesus say in this book? He who looks at a woman, the lust in her, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And how many young men
our culture today haven't committed the physical act of fornication, but they're already on the wide road leading to destruction because all they have to do is watch the Super Bowl and have their eyes filled with lust. Read the Bible? You've got to be kidding.
At least these men, they understood that there was eternal life. Sadly, they didn't understand the scriptures correctly. But oh, how many men and women and young people pride themselves in having read every other book. Read the Bible for myself? If you're not interested in reading the Bible for yourself, if you're not interested in studying the Scriptures correctly for yourself, then face what you are saying about yourself. Face what you are saying about yourself. You are saying that eternal life is not important to me. Because Jesus says that this book points us to the one who gives men eternal life. And for you to say, I'm not interested in reading the Bible, I'm not interested in studying the Bible, Pastor, stop presenting the Bible before me because I'm not interested in it. And you're saying that you're not interested in eternal life. But there's only one option. If you don't want eternal life, there's only one other option. Eternal death. Hell. Separation from God. There's not a third option. You're saying that you're not concerned about not being ready to stand before the Lord on judgment day. Wrongly using the scriptures will result and has resulted in men losing their souls, but so will having absolutely no interest in them as well. Oh, the numbers of lost souls are seen not only by those who misuse the scriptures, but also by those who treat them as unimportant as I was to ask you a very personal question. How many times did you read the scriptures last week? How many times did you meditate upon what you read? How many times did you say, Lord, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things out of your law? What would you say? Oh, evidence of souls being dead in trespasses and sins is the misuse and dislike of the scriptures that lost religious and rebellious men display towards them. For second today, what is the purpose of the scriptures? What is the purpose of the scriptures? Because the problem, dear brethren, is not with the Bible. The problem is with men who do not use the Bible for the purpose God gave it. Why did God give His Word as seen in the words of Jesus? And they are they which testify of me. The primary purpose, the main purpose of the Scriptures, of the Word of God, of the Bible, is not to show how men can save themselves through what they do, which was the fatal error of those Jesus was speaking to, but to show us the absolute impossibility of us saving ourselves, and that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save sinners. I don't care how many Bible degrees a person has. I don't care how proficient a person may be in what are known as the biblical languages. For if that degree or degrees, if that proficiency in Hebrew and Greek does not result in that person seeing Christ in the Scriptures and their absolute need of the Christ of the Scriptures to save them, then they're misusing all their knowledge. desiring to see Christ better and better and better in the Scriptures. Dear brethren, if you are sitting here today and you're saying, I don't have a degree in theology. I've never been to Bible school. I don't know an alpha from an aleph. But I know that the Scriptures show me that I'm a sinner in thought, in word, and in deed, and that only Jesus through His finished work could have saved me. Then you are in a better position. You are a better biblical scholar than anyone who could read the Bible in its original languages, but do not see them as pointing them to Christ Jesus. You are a true Bible scholar because you see the purpose for which God gave the Bible, to point you to your absolute need of Christ to save you from your sins. The person who does not see Christ Jesus in the Scriptures is not a good Bible teacher, regardless of who he is. That is why I have said you should never think that a rabbi is a good teacher of the Old Testament. Because if he was a good teacher of the Old Testament, he would be pointing everyone who he was teaching to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Scriptures that Jesus is referring to here are not what we call the New Testament. It's what we call the Old Testament. Ye search the Scriptures because in them ye think ye have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. The Old Testament is filled with truth and about the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say to his disciples after he rose from the dead? In the law, the Psalms, and the prophets concerning me. And what did he do? He opened their minds that they might understand the Scriptures. He opened their minds that they might understand the law and the Psalms and the prophets as pointed to Him. And how many think, oh well, he's a rabbi, he can read the Old Testament in the original Hebrew. He must know the Bible better than I do. I can't even read Hebrew. I couldn't tell you what the first letter or the last letter of the Hebrew language was. I can't understand the Old Testament in the original Hebrew language. He must know the Bible better than I do. Do you see the Old Testament as pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see Him revealed there in Psalm 22 and in Isaiah 53 and in all the various other passages of the Old Testament? Do you see Him revealed there? When you see Him revealed there, you say, oh, what a glorious Savior is Jesus, my Savior. Then you are a Hebrew scholar. Because you see the purpose for why God gave us the Old Testament. A person who does not want to see Christ better and better in the Scriptures is not a good Bible teacher or reader. And dear brethren, how many are there like that today? Oh, you can listen to them and they'll tell you about everything and anything else. Well, I see this in the Scriptures and I see that in the Scriptures. Do you see Christ in the Scriptures? No. Why should I see Christ in the Scriptures? Because that's who you should be looking for. A person who does not see that the message of the Scriptures is to point sinners to their absolute need of Christ and this world's absolute need of Christ is misusing the Bible to their own detriment and destruction and the detriment and destruction of others. Because consider third with me what I have called the peril of the Word. Now in saying this, am I saying there's anything inherently wrong with the Bible? Perish the thought. It is the greatest gift of God to fallen man because it reveals and declares the only Savior of sinners and the only way of salvation through the penal substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brethren, the problem is not with the Bible. The problem is with the dark, depraved, deceitful heart of man. For the Scriptures clearly reveal the truth of eternal life, and they clearly reveal who is the way and source of that eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is the problem? It's not with the Scriptures. Perish the thought. It's not with the one to whom they point and are fulfilled by. Perish the thought. The problem is with the wicked fallen wills of men. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life.
If a man takes up a gun, he can misuse it to the detriment of himself and others. But who can comprehend the detriment and destruction that men cause to their own souls and the souls of others when they take up the Bible and misuse it by not pointing people to the one to whom it is given to reveal and point our absolute need of, the Lord Jesus Christ? How many say they read the Scriptures? They're not like those I mentioned earlier who from week to week never break the cover of the Bible. How many say they read the Scriptures? How many say they even study the Scriptures? How many say they even know the Scriptures? But if you were to ask them, have you come to Christ for eternal life and the forgiveness of your sins that can only be found in Him? They look at you like you've lost your mind. Why do I need to come to Christ? I study the Scriptures. Why do I need to study? Why do I need to come to Christ? I've taken a Bible course. I even got an A in that Bible course. Why do I need to come to Christ? Why do I need to come to Christ? I live up to the truth that they reveal. You're a hypocrite. You don't even know the Bible you're reading. People who say such things are just showing that they are reading the Scriptures through blind eyes with a dead and unbelieving heart. What did Jesus say? Be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's the standard. Never have a sinful thought, never speak a sinful word, never commit a sinful act. He is perfect in thought, word, and deed as the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the standard. Dear brethren, the problem is not with the Bible. The problem is not with the Scriptures. The problem is with the unbelieving wills of men. The problem is with the unbelieving wills of men. You do not believe what the Bible is clearly and repeatedly teaching you about yourself and about Christ. If you truly believed what the Bible was saying about you and Christ, there is only one thing you would be doing. If men really believe what the Bible reveals about them and what it really reveals and declares about the Lord Jesus Christ, there would only be one thing that every man who says they read and study the Bible would be doing. They'd be fleeing to Christ. They'd be fleeing to Christ. They'd be crying out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. They'd be fleeing to the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins and the eternal life that He alone can give. If a person says they know the Bible, love the Bible, understand the Bible, yet do not confess the truth, that this is a saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, then they do not believe the Bible they say they believe or revere. And let us be honest, dear brethren, how many show that they're still dead in trespasses and sins? Because they can say they've read the Bible. Many people will say, oh, I've read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation. And they pat themselves on the back. Say, okay, start again. Read it through again. If you've read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation and you think one reading through is enough, then you haven't even understood what you've been reading. How many show that they're still dead in trespasses and sins because they've read the Bible for themselves, even studied it for themselves, even memorized portions of it for themselves, and they've got memorization awards that they won in Sunday school or at some VBS or some Bible camp, and they say, oh, well, I memorized those verses so that I could get a prize. But they haven't come to Christ. They haven't come to Christ and confessed that He is the only one who could have saved their sin-sick and sin-dead souls. But you will not come to me to have life. But what of you? What of you and me? You search the scriptures so that you can see Christ better and reflect Him better in your life, or simply because you've been told it's something that is important for those who confess Christ? Oh, I've been told that I should read the Bible, I should study the Bible, I should meditate on the Bible, I guess, I'm constantly told that. I guess I better do it. You want to see Christ? You want to see your need of Christ better and better and better? Dear brethren, the longer I live, the more I'm aware that if Christ doesn't save sinners, I'm lost. But the Bible says that He did what? He came into this world to save sinners. Have you really come to Christ if you do not want to see Him better and better and better in the Scriptures? What of you and me? Do we praise and thank the Lord when we see Him better and better and better in His Word? Because that means we're using the Scriptures correctly to see Christ better and better and better, so we can know Him better and know how to serve the only One who could save us from our sins. Is that not a blessing to you? I speak to those who have known it. You read what we call the Old Testament, and you're reading a passage, and I hadn't seen Christ there before. But I can make application to Christ. I can see Christ there. There's Christ revealed again in the Old Testament. Oh, what a blessing. What of you and me? Have we come to Jesus for the eternal life that He alone can give, because you have seen that the purpose of the Bible is to reveal not only who you are and who I am? We're the wicked and lost sinners who Christ only could have saved from our sins. Have you come to Jesus for the eternal life that He alone can give, because that is the purpose of the Bible, to reveal not only who you are, but who Christ is? He's the Savior of sinners like yourself. Have you come to Him as the One that the Bible clearly and repeatedly shows you to be the only Savior of sinners? We'll see this later when we get to the end of John chapter 6. Jesus declared that men must come to Him to have eternal life, and unless the Father drew them, they would not come, and that was difficult teaching, and some departed. They turned away from Jesus. And Jesus said to His own apostles, He said, "Well, do you also want to go away? Do you also want to go away?" Peter said, "Well, where else can we go, Lord? Where else can we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life, and have come to believe that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and through believing in You, we have eternal life. Why would we want to go anywhere else?" If you have come to see Christ as He is revealed in the Bible, the only Savior of sinners, then you're not misusing this blessed book. You're using it for the purpose for which God gave it to this lost and dying world. May you know the blessing of personally knowing why God gave us His written Word, the Holy Bible, to point us to the only One who can save us from our sins. And all who see this come to Him. Have you? I pray that you have. Let us pray.